welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to our next episode of Radio Free HPC. This is Dan Olds, and I'm here with Rich Bruckner and Henry Newman, as always. How you doing, guys?
Great to be here, Dan.
Always good to see both of you.
It is good, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
So
well,
I have news for the week.
Oh, I was just going to close the show. I thought that was it.
Hello!
Dan. Well, thank you all for listening, and we really appreciate it. Go to our website and – or no, wait, but you had something, Henry?
I did have something.
Okay.
I spent 2 days at the IEEE Mass Storage Conference. A lot of people think that it's, you know, a conference for a bunch of old storage people, but there's a lot of new stuff coming.
I don't know if you see me raising my hand here. Yeah,
there were a lot of new communities at the conference. There was a lot of people from the video industry, Disney and others.
True.
We had people from Yahoo. But in my mind, the most interesting, and I was unable to spend the whole week there, but the most interesting discussion was that of holographic storage.
First time I heard of holographic storage, I believe, was on an early episode of the original Star Trek. And then it was one of those technologies that's on the way since then. And that's been, what, 30 years, 20 years, easily?
Easily. The original Star Trek was the 60s, Dan.
Well, okay. Well, it was on the Next Generation, too.
But now it's come to it's coming out of the labs, you're saying.
Well, I mean, Enphase was talking about it for many years. I've visited Enphase. There were actually two companies talking about holographic storage at IEEE Mass Store. One was talking about it in 2015, and one was 2017. We'll put the link to the presentations on the website, but it's storageconference.org. But I was impressed, and one of the companies that was talking about it is a company with a lot of experience in lasers, and that was Hitachi.
So what are the advantages? Why go with holograms? What do you get from this technology?
Density, Rich. You get a lot more density, and you get something that's never going to change, because once it's in a hologram, it can't be changed.
You don't rewrite part of it.
You
that would change
rewrite
the whole
part of it. I mean, for things that you are never going to change, this is a very interesting technology. The read performance that was quoted was impressive, and if you want something for permanent records, then this might be your technology.
And this is chiseling it in stone.
Pretty much. They gave some examples in the presentation of optical storage and how well it did in Hurricane Katrina, buried in, you know, muck and water, and how they cleaned them off and were able to read almost all the data, and that didn't compare to other technologies.
And the form factor on this is essentially like a CD or a DVD today. At least that's what it looks like in the slides.
That was what was said in the slides.
And it looks like a read speed of what... 238 megabits per second?
Megabytes, Dan.
Megabytes per second?
2 gigabits.
2 gigabits, okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's right. 230 megabytes, 250 megabytes.
You should put
that's pretty good.
You should put the link to my blog entry in this. I mean, I was a naysayer for a long time on holographic storage.
Well, Henry, put that in perspective. I mean, how does that compare to like spinning disk or SSD as far as a read speed?
It's faster than pretty much most spinning disks.
Yeah.
Not probably at that time frame, but most current today spinning disks, except for outer cylinders on 15K, 2.5 inch today.
Yeah, 15K you could get there, but that's pretty competitive with SSDs.
Mm-hmm. It's very, well, obviously the seeking latency is going to be way, way more than SSDs.
Yeah, we don't see those figures in the presentation.
Just, what's it take to spin up a CD or a DVD? It's going to be a lot longer.
Yeah.
This is not to compete with SSDs.
No, no.
So this basically it takes a snapshot of your data, like all the data all at once, and puts it in this 3D hologram, and it's a single entity then, it sounds
yep.
like.
That's what it was described.
And it looks like the first... size that's coming out is 1.8 terabytes per disk around 2015, according to their chart here, and moving to 3.8 terabytes a few years later. That's something.
It's impressive. The other point, Dan, I mean, look who it's coming from. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's the thing, and that's what got my attention when we were talking about this in our pre-call, is like you and everybody else, you see these articles, I don't know, every couple of years that holographic storage or some exotic storage technology is just, we're on the cusp of it. Couple of years, just a little bit longer.
And but some more have, money.
We're going to need some more money. It's usually startups you've never heard of. But this is Hitachi, and they've got real data in this slide deck, and it's public. Companies like Hitachi, particularly the Japanese companies, like you said before, Henry, in our pre-call, they don't talk about anything in this sort of detail unless it's pretty well baked.
It's really well baked.
That's just not their style and not their culture to dangle something
Correct.
Like this out there unless
so,
that's
plans
impressive
to commercialize it.
From what little I understand, or the way I would figure this shaking out, is that you're going to have individual drives that may or may not be hugely technically complex, but volume is going to bring that price down. What's this going to do to the tape library market?
Rich, before I answer, what do you think it's going to do to the tape library market?
Henry, you know, obviously you know how tapes are used more than I, but for pure archival, you know, this would definitely seem to me to be a very competitive technology if they can get the cost per byte in the same range. And it sounds like the speeds are in the same neighborhood.
I think it's more than competitive. It's going to be, this could be disruptive in our world.
It's the cost case that they're putting forward on operating cost shows it lower by about 50% versus tape libraries. Who knows how solid those numbers are, but I can imagine that you're going to have a much smaller footprint. You're going to have faster accessibility. You're going to have much, much denser storage.
Right. I mean, the time to first byte's going to be significantly less.
Hard to put a number on the value of that from a TCO standpoint, but there is a value to it, particularly when we're archiving so much big data.
Correct.
Well, Henry, do you think this is something they might license, or would they hold the keys to this at one company?
Don't know.
I would expect that the market opportunity for this is going to be so big, because this is going to come into consumer.
Yeah.
That it's going to be so big that they will license it.
Well, I mean, the question is, can you make the drives for consumers at a reasonable cost, Dan?
Well, that was the same question we had with CD and DVD drives. And it took a while, but it happened.
But the problem is optical is somewhat disappearing. Everybody's downloading. You know, new laptops don't come with optical drives anymore.
Right. And Macs were the first to stop doing that, by the way.
What a forward-thinking thing that was. We're going to give you less and yet charge a premium price for it. Yeah, I like that. And you're right. I mean, this could be much of this on the cloud and network. Storage, but it would be interesting technology to have, particularly since I don't know if it would be all that hard to have a combo drive that'll also read, write Blu-rays, CDs, DVDs.
Yeah, I think that would be more difficult, honestly.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
Probably different lasers, not impossible, but it would be difficult.
Just a matter of more lasers. More lasers, more better. That's what my mom always told me.
Well, that's all I had to say. I mean, I encourage everybody to take a look. There are a lot of good presentations here. A lot of interesting stuff from Shutterfly, from others. It was a great conference. I unfortunately had to leave early, but it was well worth my time.
Was there any kind of theme that kind of jumped out at you, Henry, that was different from what you've heard in the past?
The theme in my mind was new communities. It's not, you know, the same old 30, 40 lab sites and other sites, and there's a lot of new communities. I mean, the Shutterfly people have 30 petabytes of spinning storage, and the biggest archive, single namespace, that, you know, is talked about is 54. So there are a lot of people doing stuff with spinning disk that was interesting. Some of the claims seemed outrageous to me, but it's good to hear what other people are thinking.
One data point, Rich, and I think you'll remember this from the GTC year before this last one. There was a guy speaking during the keynote from Lucas from the Industrial Light and Magic folks, and he was showing a scene from the movie Battleship. And if I remember right, he said that some of these action sequences with heavy CGI are up to 40 terabytes per scene in raw data.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
And you're going to have to archive all that data and all those cells at some point, too. This is a very interesting technology for doing that.
Sounds like it, yeah. Yeah, so, well, Henry, I guess as communities grow, big data storage, all that coming together, and you got to go on the Queen Mary. I'm kind of curious about that. What's that ship like, man?
Who's the Queen Mary? Oh, the ship. Okay.
Yeah, the ship.
The ship. I've seen that. That's really interesting.
Well, honestly, I had no desire to be on a ship with paper thin walls and a bunch of screaming kids. I didn't stay on it.
Did you go up and walk it at least?
Oh, yeah. Well, the conference was on the Queen Mary.
Oh, it was on it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big cruise ship kind of guy.
That's an interesting historical thing, though.
That doesn't float my boat.
Yeah.
And they used to have the Spruce Goose there until they moved it up to Oregon about 25 miles from me.
Yeah, yeah. So Henry would prefer a nice ballroom setting somewhere at Hyatt, a few minutes from an airport. That'd be a better deal. Right?
A few minutes from an airport, reasonably priced.
There you go.
We're there for the conference, not
so Quality
for...
Inn.
Yeah.
Quality Inn, Hampton.
Motel 6 is good. I mean, Tom Baudet can welcome me.
True. And actually, that harkens us back to, I believe, our first broadcast where you were talking about your account being hacked with the fine people at Quality Inn. Has that been taken care of?
That was Marriott, actually, Dan.
It was not Marriott. I remember that. It wasn't, because we're still giggling about it.
Come on back. We'll leave the light on for you.
Did Tom Baudet get you taken care of on your loyalty program with them?
Tom, you know what? Tom's a funny guy.
He personally interceded on your behalf?
I'm sure he would have, but I don't know the gentleman.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's handled. And I think that probably brings us to the end of this episode of Radio Free HPC. It's been good. And we will talk to you guys soon, and we will talk to all of you out there in radio land or web land sometime soon, too. Thanks for listening.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at radiofreehpc.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.